Amen. Thank you for that song, choir. Appreciate that. Amen. Tremendous message to be more like the Lord. That ought to be all of our desires as a Christian, is to reflect Him in everything that we say and everything that we do. Amen. It's an honor tonight to have our teen class from the back here with us. And they have to leave by 8:30, and so I'm going to promise you that I'll do my best to be done by then. Because I want you guys to be able to be with us for the whole time, okay? And but just from Pastor Brian and Sister Sarah, we're glad you're here tonight, and we hope you feel like home, all right? Amen. We're going to turn in the Bible tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. The book of Matthew, chapter 16. Our text is going to be verse 24 through 26. Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26. Also tonight, if you're listening online, we're glad you're joining us, not here in person, but wherever you are, we're thankful that you're listening. We've got folks all over the world sometimes tuning in, and please stand if you would for the reading of the Word. And so wherever you are tonight, thank you for listening. Pray the Lord would speak to you. Amen. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man, and that man is a general, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is a man profited? We're going to read that verse again, 26. What is a man, what is a woman, what is a boy, a girl profited if they gain the whole world, everything the world has to offer them, and they still lose their soul? Or what shall a man give that's in the same value in exchange for his soul? Amen. I'd like to title this message tonight on choosing to be a disciple. Choosing to be a disciple. Would you all pray with me tonight that the Lord would help us? Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. It's an honor to preach from your word. I pray that you would speak to hearts tonight, minister to lives. Lord, you know everyone here. Lord, you know what we're facing. You know what we're up against. God, you know those who love you, and you know those who maybe have not yet heard the truth. But tonight I pray that your word would be illuminated in their lives, that they would hear the truth, and that they would respond to the truth. Lord, I thank you for your word. It is alive tonight. And Lord, it speaks to our hearts, and I pray that you would minister in a mighty way tonight. Thank you for every young person that's here or listening online. I pray that you would minister tonight to their lives. Lord, in this youth service, have your way. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. This is a question that has been asked throughout time. What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, many of us, especially young people, you guys are tapped into this sometimes more than others, but there's been a lot of athletes that have made a lot of money. There have been a lot of actors and actresses. There have been a lot of famous people. They've made money. They've got sweet cars. They've got homes on every coast in America, and they've sometimes got little, sweet homes in another country because they're so wealthy. They've got yachts, big boats, everything that they could ever want. They've got a lot of different relationships with people. They've got access to drugs and alcohol and all sorts of the other things that come along with a party scene. They have everything that the world around us says is fun, that has value. They have it all. And yet, tragically, we hear again and again and again about another individual taking their life. Another individual overdosing on drugs. Another individual being murdered because of the location of where they are. They have it all, yet they're not satisfied. And so they're continually searching. Searching for something to fill a void in their heart. Searching for something to fill the emptiness inside. Searching for something to give meaning in life. Well, can I tell you guys something? And this is the truth. You will never find an answer to that emptiness outside of Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He's what they're looking for, and they may not even know it. You see, we were created with an absence in our heart, a hole, if you will, in the spiritual part of who we are. That's called the soul. The soul is the essence of who we are. It's what makes us individuals and unique. It's what makes Michelle different than Juliet, or it's what makes Grant different than Noah. Even though they're brothers, they are still different. I have a twin brother. Sister Valerie has an even closer twin because they're identical. I'm fraternal, and yet my brother and I are uniquely different because of our souls. It's the eternal value of who we are. It's what makes us who we are, and we were designed that way by God. And so because you have a soul, that there's a question placed here in this text about what is your soul worth? You know, tonight, there's young people in this house right now, in this room. You have been raised in church your whole life. Many of you, I witnessed your dedication on this very platform. Many of us have heard the Bible. We've heard stories after stories about the truth of God's Word. Some of us haven't. Some of us, maybe this is just the first a few times that you've been here. But the question still applies to everyone. What is your soul worth? And who defines the value of the soul? Its creator. The creator decides what is valuable. He thought your soul was so valuable that he created heaven so that when we die, if we are Christians, if we are believers and followers after Christ, we will go to an eternal reward. However, the opposite is true. If we do not follow after God, if we seek to fulfill the longings of our heart and yet don't fill it with Jesus, then our soul is condemned. Now tonight, you know, our title was Choosing to be a Disciple. I want to tell you guys something. There is a very important choice that many tonight in this room need to make. You see, whether you've been raised in church, that means you've been your whole life as a kid and growing up, or whether this is just one of the first few times you've been here, you need to understand something. We make choices in life that decide our direction. An addict is not an addict, you know, because he chose that very first time to decide to use drugs. An alcoholic decided on that very first drink that they were going to set a new course. An individual that is filled with anger and bitterness made a decision and an attitude to go in that way. An individual that robs places and does bad stuff, they decide those things. But let me tell you something. This world is not all negative. There are people, even tonight, that are making choices that please God. There are young people that are making choices that says, I want to be a Christian. I want to serve God. I love God. I'm thankful for Jesus. And because of that decision, your life changes course. You know, there you can make a decision about what to wear, where to go, who to go with. And each of those decisions have consequences, right? Our decisions decide our direction. Well, how do we make a decision that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt God is pleased in? I think the answer is in this chapter in the Bible. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus was with his 12 disciples, and they had been with a group of people. And in this group, many people were saying Jesus was a lot of different things. Right now, I'm in a religion class, and Sister Flynn is in the same class with me, and we didn't even know it until a few days ago when we were posting our responses, and I saw her response. I was like, there can't be two Jody Flynns in my life. So I wrote Sister Jody, and sure enough, we're in the same class, had no idea. And but we have been learning about a lot of different stuff. A lot of different stuff. A lot of crazy stuff. And but you know what? It's caused me to ask a question. Why Jesus? Why Jesus? I mean, many times as young people, we hear that name Jesus or Jesus Christ. It's really used most of the time as a cuss word, right? We hear it more often in a vulgar sense than we do in a sense that Jesus is actually God. But what makes him, why do we believe that he is that? Well, they were asking the same questions back in the Bible. What do people, or who do people think that Jesus is, or what were they saying about him? And Jesus himself asked the 12 disciples, who do men say that I am? Who do people think that I am? And Peter, he was one of the 12 disciples, and he was outspoken, and he was loud sometimes, and he didn't really always think before he acted, and he reminds me of me a lot. And so I like Peter. And he said, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Up to that point, Jesus, folks had seen that he was doing stuff, that he was healing people and changing their lives. But up to that point, it had not yet been revealed that he had come to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And Peter, because he was perceptive, because he was listening to the voice of the Lord, he said, you are the Christ. The first thing that we're going to have to do, young people, if we're going to become a disciple, if we're choosing to become a disciple of Christ, which really, that's just a fancy way of saying, if we're going to choose to be a real Christian, then we're going to have to recognize Jesus as our God and our Savior. You know, it's been said many times that there are multiple ways to God, that you can choose different paths. It doesn't matter how you get there as long as you get there. But I want to tell you something, that's a lie. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by Jesus. He is the answer. And if we're going to be Christians, you know, I work in a public school. I went to public college, and I've met a lot of folks, and I'm sure you have too, that they say, I am a Christian. I appreciated what Sister Tricia was saying before the choir sang. There are a lot of people that claim to be a Christian, but by their actions and by their lifestyle, you would never know it, right? I mean, we hear it all the time. You know, I'll never forget being in a college class. I think it was right around my 21st birthday. And, we had a lot of friends there. And when you go through a program, you end up getting close to some people because you're with the same folks throughout that program. And one night several who had claimed to be Christians said, hey, we're going to go to a bar and wanted to know if you want to go with us, because they knew it was my 21st birthday. And I said, no, I've already got plans. They said, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm driving the church van. I'd been waiting to go to Hope House to drive. I didn't want to have Sister Hurst to drive us anymore, and I wanted to drive. So I finally got to drive at 21 because our church insurance covered us. Hallelujah. I was excited. You know, I made up my mind a long time ago as a teenager that this was the only way I ever wanted to live. Guys, I'm passionate about being a Christian because I know who I was before I became a Christian. And I remember the guilt. I remember the inside shame of decisions I knew I had done that were wrong. I remember at night wondering where I would spend eternity if I was to die in that moment. I remember. And I remember the feeling of what it was like when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I recognized him as the true God, and I asked him to be my Savior. And when I asked him to do that, he did what his Bible, his word says he will do. He will forgive anyone that follows after him. Now, as a disciple, as a Christian, we are saying we don't want to live any longer without Jesus being our God and our Savior. We're living in a way that the world around us sees. I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm living a different way than I used to live. Amen? It's the first thing we've got to do if we're going to be a Christian is we've got to recognize Jesus as our God. Amen. We acknowledge his authority in our lives. We listen and we obey the Bible, his word. We try to glean from the things that he tells us, and we try to grow in our faith with God. The second thing that we have to do if we're going to be a disciple of Christ, if we're going to choose to be a disciple, which means we're going to be a what? A real Christian, is we're going to learn to deny ourselves. That's not fun. If anybody tells you it's fun to deny themselves, they are lying to you. All right? You know, sometimes as a Christian, we don't do everything that other people do. Sister Tricia already made mention of it, and she was hitting it home, and I appreciate her saying what she did. There's times, young people, that it's not good to watch what everybody else says is a great show. And there's times that it's not good to listen to certain things or go places or be with certain people because we know that those choices leave us feeling dirty inside and empty and leave us feeling wrecked inside. Guys, when we choose to be a Christian and be a disciple of Christ, we're choosing to deny what we would normally want to do, and that's serve ourselves. You know, I thought it, the Lord really uses parenting sometimes to drive points home. Why didn't y'all tell me that growing up? I didn't know that. Sorry, Dad. Emma came in today, and she's not allowed to eat certain things because of her teeth, and gummies was one of her favorite things. And she came in, and she said, "Oh, Daddy, I can't have gummies." I said, "No, you can't. You know, we could give those to her. You know, it's just candy. I like gummies." And I thought, you know, it's easy for me as a parent to say, "No, you can't have something." But now that I'm an adult, who looks at me and says, "I can't have something"? So the Lord was really kind of stepping on my toes tonight. You know, as Christians, we don't always have people over top of us. I'm the youth pastor here, but I don't go to all your schools. And I don't walk down your hallways. And I don't go to your room and just tell you everything that you're supposed to do and not do as a Christian. And I don't follow you guys with, like, binoculars and be like, "Oh, I'm watching. They did something bad." No, that first off, that's really creepy. And second of all, that's not how it works. You know, every one of us, if we claim to be a Christian, we're saying that we are making a lifestyle choice that, although it is hard sometimes to say no to our desires, we are saying yes to fulfilling the desires of God. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." In denying ourselves, that is not in the way that some religions make folks crawl through glass or make them beat themselves with whips. We're not talking about that. We're talking about knowing that we have a flesh inside of us that doesn't want to serve God and doesn't enjoy doing things all the time that's right. And so we say no to those desires. And we say yes to God's way. It's like in a relationship. We say no to certain things because we're waiting, amen, to do things God's way. We're waiting for the way God designed it. And so we say no to the inner desire and say yes to God. It's like saying no to when somebody offers you something that you know it's going to be bad for your body. But because it's cool, they do it anyway. Well, I'm telling you, it's the same way with God. Sometimes people offer us things or we have opportunities to do things and we say no to those things, even though everybody says it would be fun, because we want to please God. And that doesn't just stop at our teen years. You know, there's times at school that I have to say no to watching certain vines and certain clips on YouTube and certain Snapchat pictures because I want to be a Christian. Learn to say no. Amen. We deny ourselves. The third thing that we must do, that if we are going to choose to be a disciple, is we must live for Jesus daily. Live for Jesus daily. You know, I was talking with someone the other day, and they were talking to me about how that they were baptized. And I said, that's cool. They asked if I believed in water baptism. I said, yes, I do. I was baptized when I was right around my teen years, or I had gotten baptized when I was a boy. And then I left and wasn't serving the Lord in my heart. And so when I really became a Christian, pastor was having baptism here, and we got baptized. And they said, well, I got baptized too. And I said, oh, yeah, tell me about it. I said, oh, I don't remember it. I was just a baby. They just sprinkled water on my head, I guess. I don't remember it. And I said, well, you know, what is your church? Do you get baptized later? They said, well, no, not really. I don't really go to church that much. But because they had something in the past, an experience that they had been told was good enough, they were missing out on the joy of that daily walk. And I'm telling you guys something. It sounds, you know, there are times that living as a Christian is kind of mundane. Or that's a fancy word for saying boring. There's nothing really exciting happening. You're at home on a Thursday night, you know, or you're not doing all stuff all the time. And there's times that may seem like it's boring. But I'm telling you, the joy of serving Jesus daily is you'll look back in life and say, wow, look how far I am from where I was before. And, you know, you can get lied to by a lot of people that say, well, it's not being a Christian. Is it about, you know, doing that? You don't have to do all that fun stuff. You'll hear people say that. You don't have to do all that stuff that that's like the law, and you can just do whatever and you'll still be saved. Listen, that might be true, but it's not, first off. Second thing is, they're missing out on the relationship. Listen, being a disciple of Christ is not about being a part of a religion. It's about being in a relationship with the God of heaven and serving him daily. You find joy, you find strength, you find victory. You know, there's times, guys, when we have been so discouraged or been really low in our emotions and been hurting inside, but because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, we find daily help and daily victory. And when we feel tempted to do wrong, we find strength from God and we find victory through his word. Listen, serving Jesus every day is a joy. Amen. It's a joy. And so I ask you the question that Jesus asked the disciples. What is your soul worth? You know, it's really quite sad, I think. If I had a Xbox One up here tonight or a PlayStation 4. Does anybody have an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4? All right, we're going to be friends. All right. Oh, praise the Lord. That's how you get some intel. All right. If I had one of those, and maybe you're a Christian here tonight, and I asked you, would you stop going to church for a month? Would you skip church for a month if I were to give you an Xbox One? Don't raise your hand, but I want you to think about that. Would it be worth it? Skip for a month to get an Xbox One. All right, next question. If I gave you $1,000 right now, Sister Sarah, you got the checkbook? Left it at home, huh? Good. If I gave you $1,000 right now to not come, or better yet, to not pray, I'll give you $1,000. You're a Christian. I'll give you $1,000 to not pray for 2 months. You promise you will not pray for 2 months. How many would be willing for $1,000? $1,000 can buy a lot of stuff. What about a car? If I gave you a car, all right, and I tell you, you are agreeing right now as a Christian that you will deny, you will walk away from the faith, but I'll give you a new Camaro. Anybody? You say, I refuse, I won't claim to be a Christian, I'll just walk away, but I'll give you a Camaro. Is that enough? Listen, guys, it sounds so silly because, number one, I don't have any of those things to offer you tonight. The second thing is, it's kind of sad, but a lot of people have left serving God for a lot less. You see, you may not have somebody in front of you offering an Xbox One, but you'll gladly skip your prayer time so that you can play another level at home. And somebody may not be offering $1,000 right now, but you'll gladly not come to church for whatever event comes in the way. You know, and we may not have a car to give you right now, but when you're in the car with somebody else, you quickly renounce your faith for the sake of that friend. And so I may not have these things to offer you right now, but I want you to start thinking about it. What is your soul worth? What is your price? And if you're willing to say there's nothing in the world I would rather have than Jesus Christ, then you are in a position that says, I want to be a disciple. But if you can't answer that question, then I want you to know that there is a choice that you need to make tonight that says, am I going to serve God with all my heart, or am I going to walk away? You see, a lot of folks in life are searching for that price. They just don't know it. But tonight I want to tell you something. There is nothing in the world that would be worth selling Jesus for. He is the life changer. Amen. I want to read a poem tonight and we'll close. If we could have those that are coming to the music, would you come tonight? C.T. Studd wrote this. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord, I'll meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in God's will. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. What are you choosing to be? Who are you choosing to be? Man, I want to be what Christ wants me to be. I remember in my teen years, sitting on these very steps. I don't know if you remember this or not, Pastor, but I've been at school. We had a church school here, and I was really struggling with my faith. I had been a Christian for some time at that point, about 5 years, 4 or 5 years, and just had a lot of internal questions about who I really wanted to be. And I sat up here. I knew I had been called to preach. Had no direction in life. I didn't know what I was doing. Just felt like I was living day to day and struggling to do that. One day, Pastor was talking with me, and I just unloaded what was really going on inside. And the struggle, the daily struggle, I felt like I was dying in my walk with the Lord. And he said something to me that day, and it was the first time I had heard it, but since then, he said it a lot more. He said, "Brian, don't forget what God told you in the light when you're in the darkness." You know, when I became a Christian, I'm telling you guys, it was a radical change in my life. And I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. And sometimes that struggle is so real that we begin to really question, am I going to make it? Is it worth it being a Christian? What's the price? But I'll tell you this much. Although there have been very low points in my Christian walk, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ has made this journey worth it every day.
Hallelujah.
So when we're contemplating who we want to be as young people, and when there's all these other choices out there in the world, and all your friends, you know, I kept thinking about the story of the Iliad and the Odyssey. Those sirens calling out, bidding them come towards the rocks. They would hear their voices call, not realizing that the sharpest of rocks would sink that ship. There's a lot of voices out there that want you to be somebody else. But I want you to hear the voice of Pastor Brian tonight and the voice of this word. God wants you to be different. And he's given the opportunity to change your life, not because we're horrible people, but because without him, we're not what we could be. Amen. I want everybody to stand tonight, if you can. Whether you're here in the church tonight or whether you're listening online, I want you to hear me tonight. God can minister to you right where you are. You know, guys, we don't have that much time. Preached a little longer than I wanted to. So I want you to hear this right now. You make the decision of who you're going to be. You can be world's greatest ball player. You can be the world's best chef. You can be a musician. You can be whatever you want to be. But in the end, the only thing that matters is, do you love Jesus Christ? And if you do, you'll find he makes life worth living. Would you bow your heads tonight as we pray? Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to preach and represent your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that your word would go farther and deeper into the heart than I could ever do on my own. I pray tonight for every young person that is struggling with identity and who they are. I pray with every young person that maybe they don't know you as their Savior, but tonight they've heard for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, that they've heard that you care about them, that you can forgive sin, that you want to forgive, that you want them to follow you. So I pray tonight they would open up their hearts to you, that they would receive you as their Savior, that they would reject the things that are leading them away from you, God, and that they would follow after you. Tonight, if there's young people here, and Lord, I know there are, that they've known the truth for a long time, but there have been a lot of things pulling at them to leave that truth behind. And so tonight, I pray you would knock on their heart. Remind them of the cost. Let them see the world around them for what it really is. Folks that are lost, hurting, God, that are dying to know the truth, and yet we that know the truth would ever be so foolish as to leave it. God, I pray tonight that you would renew our love for you. God, renew my love for you. Lord, this is the greatest journey I could ever be on, is serving you. And even, God, there are times that we feel so far from where we should be. I pray tonight you just revive us. Help us, Lord, to serve you. God, I love you tonight. Lord, only one life to live. 'Twill soon be past. What's done for you is what will last. Everyone in the house and those listening online, I want you to respond truthfully to this question. Do you love Jesus? And if you don't know him yet, you say, but I want to, Pastor Brian. I want you to just raise your hand and say, I want to be a Christian. I'm not a Christian yet. I'm here, but I'm not serving him. But if you want to be, just say, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? I want to be a Christian. Is there anybody in the house tonight? Say, I want to be a Christian. I want to give my life to him. Anyone at all? Church, we're praying. You might be at home tonight listening. And you're not serving Christ. I want to tell you, he literally changes lives. And even in your home right now, you can kneel and ask him to come into your life. Acknowledge that he's God. To forgive you of your sins. And he will do it. And you can start the journey tonight. Is there a young person here tonight, or maybe an adult inside the church, that you're struggling? If you were just being real honest, you're struggling in your faith. And you say, Pastor Brian, I need a fresh one-on-one time with the Lord to renew my love. If that's you tonight, why don't you come to the altar? And the rest of us, everyone that will, let's join, find a place around the altar tonight. Let's ask the Lord to renew our love for him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's find a place to pray. We use these steps up here as an altar. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
How far?